These verses that we read together here present to us a beautiful picture. It's a picture of a young man in slavery and yet at the same time wonderfully free. You know, the New Testament tells us that we are born slaves of Jesus Christ. But what does that mean? What does that involve? Whenever we hear the word slave, our minds so often go to horrific stories of how slaves were treated under colonial powers, often being cruelly oppressed and treated. But the slavery that was allowed under the Old Testament law was very, very different. It was not intended to cruelly oppress and treat, but it was actually a means of providing and for and protecting people. For example, if someone who owned a vineyard and he put everything that he had into that vineyard, he ran out of money perhaps, and he went and borrowed money and put everything he had and put all his work into that vineyard. And then maybe a drought came along and he received nothing from all his work, and he has his family to feed, he has his debts to pay back, and there was no welfare system back then to provide for people in such circumstances. What was he to do? Well, the law gave him the option of being able to sell himself into slavery for 6 years. And the money that was used from the sale was used to pay back his debts and to provide for his family. And he knew that after 6 years he would be free, and that he could start all over again. But suppose the seventh year came, and according to the law, this man was now free. He's told that his time is up and that was free to leave. But he looks at his situation, he loves his master, and he chooses to remain with his master. And whenever he made that choice, he went through a ceremony where he was taken to the doorpost of a particular door in the house, and his ear was bored through with an awl. And this was a ceremony that signified that this young man was now voluntarily giving himself to be the lifetime slave of his master. You know, God's primary purpose in saving us is not merely that we may be blessed and have a happy time and have certain blessings, but folks, the primary reason why God ever saved you and me was that we might serve the Lord. That's why he saved us, is that we might serve him. But what does it mean to serve the Lord? So often we think of serving the Lord as activity, doing something, being involved in something and doing something for the Lord. And it does involve that, but the real meaning of serving the Lord goes much deeper than that. I believe that so often we are living in the shallows as Christians. Our experience of the Christian life so often is so shallow because our theology is so shallow. To serve the Lord means that we are a willing bondslave of Jesus Christ, absolutely and utterly at his disposal, ready without question to do his will. There's a verse in 2 Samuel 15, in verse 15, and it says, "And the king's servants said unto the king, Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint." Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. Folks, that is how it ought to be with us as we think of serving the Lord. We should be absolutely and utterly at his disposal, willing to do whatever he would ask us to do. It's voluntary servitude to Christ. You know, in modern day Christianity, we hear a lot of talk about freedom, but very little about servitude. We hear a lot of talk about liberation, health, wealth, prosperity. God loves you and wants you to be all that you want to be. He wants to fulfill all the dreams that you've ever had. Where do we hear about unconditional surrender to Jesus Christ, where we say, I have no will but thy will. I have no plans of my own but your plans. My hopes, my dreams, they're not really that important. I'm wholeheartedly surrendered to thee and to thy blessed will. A cheap gospel, I believe, is being preached from many of our pulpits in these days, where we are told that we can take Jesus as our Saviour and treat his Lordship as optional, something that we can go in for later. You know, you don't have the option of choosing Jesus as your Saviour and not taking him as your Lord. It is everything or nothing. A slave is someone, think about this, a slave is someone whose whole life belongs to someone else. Our lives belong entirely to Jesus Christ. To be saved, that's what it means to be saved. It means that your life is no longer your own, but it's absolutely and utterly given over to Jesus Christ to be absolutely and utterly at his disposal. Story is told of Abraham Lincoln, a former president of the U.S. It was during the time of slavery, and he went to a slave market on one particular day to buy back a slave girl. And as this young slave girl saw this white man bidding on her, she thought to herself, this is just another white man wanting to buy me and abuse me. He won the bid, and as he was walking away with his property, he said to the young girl, he says, young lady, you are free. She said to him, what does that mean? He says, it means that you're free. She said, does that mean that I can say whatever I want to say? He said, yes, that means that you can say whatever you want to say. He said, does that mean that I can be whatever I want to be? He said, yes, that means that you can be whatever you want to be. She said, does that mean that I can go wherever I want to go? He said, yes, that means that you can go wherever you want to go. With tears streaming down her face, she said, then I choose to go with you. Folks, that is a beautiful picture of voluntary servitude. And that's how our response ought to be to Jesus Christ, who is our Master. I want you to picture the young man here in this situation that's described in these verses that we've read together here. Number of things that we notice about him here. First of all, this young man was bought with a price. Verse 2, it says, if thou buy an Hebrew servant. This young man that we are picturing here, he was in the slave market. He was waiting to be bought. He was in bondage. He was unable to free himself. He was waiting to be sold, not to the master of his choosing, but to the one who would be the highest bidder for him. One day, a master came into the slave market, struck the bargain, paid the price, and this young man walked out of there the property of this man who had now bought him. You see, he had been bought with a price. And that reminds us, friends, that every one of us, those of us who are saved this morning, there was once a time when we were in the slave market of sin. Let us never, ever forget where we have come from. Every one of us, no matter when we were saved or where we were saved, we were once in the slave market of sin, absolutely controlled by Satan and sin. John 8:34 says, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, I want to tell you that you are not a free person. There are many, especially young people out there in the world. Last night, they thought that they were free people. They think that they are free to do whatever they want, that they have no restraints upon them, that they can simply go and live as they please, do as they please, and do what is pleasing to them. But folks, the reality is, for every unconverted man and woman, they are in the greatest slavery ever, because they're in slavery to sin. Sin controls their lives, sin controls everything they do, and sin controls their eternal destiny. Ephesians 2 and verse 2, Paul reminded the Ephesians, he said, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." We were once controlled by Satan and sin, by the flesh and by sin itself. But one day, there came into the slave market one who paid the price of our redemption. And that price was none other than his precious, precious blood. It wasn't silver or gold, but his precious, precious blood. He paid the price of our redemption. Why? Because he wanted to purchase us. He wanted to make us his own. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, it says, "Know ye not that ye are not your own?" Child of God, never forget that. You are not your own. Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirits, which are God's. Christ has bought us with his precious blood. We rejoice in that. But let us never forget the reason why he paid that price, the infinite price of our redemption. It was that he might make us his own, that we might no longer be slaves to Satan, self, and sin, but that we might belong entirely to him, absolutely and entirely. Folks, we are no longer our own to live for ourselves, to live for what is pleasing to us, but we belong now to Jesus Christ to do what he wants, to do what is pleasing to him. Christ has set us free, not free to do as we please, but free to do what he wants us to do. He has set us free from slavery to sin, where sin controlled us. We had no choice but to obey sin, to follow sin. He set us free that we might be completely submitted and resigned to him. We have been bought with a price. So this young man that we see here, he was bought with a price. But secondly, we also notice here that he was faced with a choice. He was faced with a choice. This young man, he was purchased by his master. But at the end of 6 years, he could go free if he wanted. He had a choice to make. The 6 years of slavery were complete. He had the right to take things into his own hands and to leave his master. But he made the conscious decision to submit to his master and to remain with him. And folks, for each one of us, as those who have been purchased by the precious blood of Christ, as those who belong to Christ, we are daily faced with a choice. Christ is our master. He's purchased us. We belong to him. But now that we are in that position, we are faced day and daily with a choice. And the choice is this: will I submit to Jesus Christ, my new master? Will I submit to him? Or will I continue to serve sin as I did before Christ purchased me? Folks, that is a very real choice that you and I are faced with daily. The Lord doesn't force us to serve him. He doesn't force us to submit our lives to him. But he does ask that, in light of the fact that he has purchased us, that we daily make the choice to say no to sin and to obey Christ in every area of our lives. Colossians 1 and verse 13, it says, "He hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." Someone has likened this to being delivered from Satan's territory or field and being now in Christ's territory or field. We're now in Christ's territory. Satan and sin are now on the other side of the hedge, as it were. And even though Satan and sin are on the other side of the hedge, and we are no longer in their territory or under their domain, but they still can shout orders to us from across the hedge. They can still try to intimidate us. And the choice that we have to make is this: will I submit to Christ, who is my new master, the one who controls me, the one in whose kingdom I now am? Or will I foolishly listen to that voice that's coming from across the hedge? And will I obey that voice? Will I obey what Satan is asking me to do? Or will I make the choice to say no to what Satan and sin are wanting me to do? Satan and sin cannot force the child of God to obey them in any area, because they no longer control us. But will we foolishly listen to them and make the choice to obey sin and Satan as opposed to obeying Christ, who is now our new master? Luke 9:23-24. Christ set before us the challenging terms of discipleship, and it's this: if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Folks, these are the terms of discipleship. Daily making the choice to take up your cross, to say no to sin, and to follow Christ with all of your heart. To say no to those jealous and angry thoughts that come to you. To say no to that desire to gossip and to slander. To say no to that temptation to cheat in business. In other words, to say no to sin in every area. Folks, we have this daily choice to make, to deny sin and to obey Christ. This young man, he was bought with a price. He was faced with a choice. But thirdly, notice that this young man was constrained by a love. He was constrained by a love. Look at verse 5. It says, "And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife and my children, I will not go out free." There is a mighty force that constrains the true believer to daily make the choice to say no to sin and to give themselves wholeheartedly to the Lord. What is it? It's love. Love. This young Hebrew slave chose to remain with his master out of love. You see, his master had cared for him. He had been very good to him, looked after him well. And his love for his master was now prompted by his master's love for him. And doesn't that remind us of 1 John 4 and verse 19? We love him because he first loved us. Folks, that's the only reason why any of us love the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. It's because he first loved us. It's his mighty love to us that prompts our love to him. 2 Corinthians 5:14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." Think about this. Can wholehearted commitment to Jesus Christ in every area of our lives, can that really be such a difficult task whenever we consider his great love for us? He paid the price of our redemption, the price of his precious blood. He rescued us from the clutches of Satan and sin. He delivered us forever from their power and from their dominion. He has secured our eternal salvation. We belong to him, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. He has brought us into blessed fellowship with him. He's our blessed, constant friend and companion as we travel through life, as we face the difficulties, the trials and the pressures of life. He's there as that constant friend by our side. He's a good shepherd who's caring for his sheep. He's that refuge in the times of trouble. He's with us whenever it comes to go through the valley of the shadow of death itself. Folks, these are the things that constrain us to give our lives unreservedly to him. His mighty love for us. Such wretched, undeserving sinners as we are, that has brought us into this blessed relationship with himself. It's his mighty love for us that constrains our love for him. And to take our lives, to take everything that belongs to us, and to give them entirely into his hands. For our lives to be surrendered completely to him. Picture this young man. For 6 years, he had served his master. Those 6 years, they're now past. It's the morning of the first day of the seventh year. His master comes to him and says to him, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." What does the slave say? "I love my master. I will not go out free. I love my master. I will not go out free. I'm bound to him eternally by love's strong cord. I love my master. I will not go out free, for he is my redeemer. He paid the price for me. My master shed his lifeblood, my vassal life to win, and save me from the bondage of tyrant self and sin. He chose me for his service and gave me power to choose that blessed, perfect freedom which I shall never lose. I love my master. I will not go out free." Is that the response of your heart to Christ this morning? If it truly is, how could we ever, ever be careless in any area of the Christian life and our walk with God? He was bought with a price. He was faced with a choice. He was constrained by a love. And fourthly, he was marked by an identification. Verse 6, it says, "And his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever." Whenever this young man made the choice to remain with his master, this ceremony took place. He was brought to the judges and to before the people, and brought to a doorpost, and an awl, which was a sharp piece of metal, was driven through his ear. What did this signify? It signified submission to his master. He had handed himself over of his own free will to serve his master forever. So he was a marked man. He bore this mark on his body permanently, signifying that this dedication was permanent, that it was forever. You know, as willing bond slaves of Jesus Christ, you and I ought to have lives that are marked as those belonging to Jesus Christ. Whenever someone saw a young Hebrew slave who had went through this ceremony and saw this mark on their ear, they knew immediately there was someone who no longer belongs to themselves. They now belong to their master. You know, as the world looks at your life and mine, and they are looking at our lives, they ought to see and they ought to know that we do not belong to ourselves, but that we belong to Jesus Christ. How we conduct ourselves, how we conduct our business, even how we talk in front of the unconverted, there should be that mark on everything that we do that will cause even the world to know that we belong to Jesus Christ. That we're not those who belong any longer to themselves and who live for themselves and what is pleasing to us, but that we now belong to Jesus Christ and to him forever. Christ himself has left us a wonderful example of this in Psalm 40 in verse 6, where it says, "Mine ears hast thou opened or pierced." The Lord Jesus is speaking there in the voice of prophecy as he anticipates his incarnation and his redemptive work. He was completely submitted to the will of his Father, willing to be identified with us in our humanity in order that we might be redeemed from sin and serve him forever. And if Christ our Master had his ears pierced as a mark of his complete submission and surrender to the will of God, how much more ought we to have that mark upon our lives that we belong to Jesus Christ? He was bought with a price. He was faced with a choice. He was constrained by a love. He was marked by an identification. And fifthly, and very quickly, he was under an obligation. He was under an obligation. Look at the last phrase there in verse 6. "And he shall serve him forever." Whenever this young Hebrew slave made this decision to stay with his master, it was a lifetime decision, a lifetime commitment. This commitment required him to serve his master forever. It wasn't a relationship where he could enjoy certain blessings without any expectations on his part. No, he was required to serve. And how long was that service to last? Until he got tired of it and no longer felt like it? No. He was to serve him forever. Forever. He didn't have the right to refuse any task that was given to him by his master. He couldn't go off and do his own thing and then come back whenever he felt like it. It was to be a life of consistent service to his master. He had no rights of his own. We hear a lot of talk in these days about rights, don't we? People are campaigning for this right and that right and the other right, and the majority of things that they think they have rights for, they don't have. Do you know, a bond slave of Jesus Christ has no rights of his own, none whatsoever. "If any man will come after me, what is he to do? He's to deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow him." You know, there are far too many Christians who want the benefits of a relationship with Jesus Christ, but they're not prepared for the denial of self, not prepared to take up their cross, to follow him, not willing to serve him wholeheartedly forever. People want to be delivered from hell. They want to have a home in heaven. They want to be able to call upon the Lord whenever they're in trouble. They want the privileges, but not wholehearted submission and surrender to him in every area of their lives. Are you a true bond slave of Jesus Christ this morning? I'm not asking you if you've prayed a wee prayer and asked Jesus into your heart. That really is irrelevant. I'm asking you, is your life in its entirety 100% surrendered to Jesus Christ? Is absolutely everything laid on his altar? Is there any area of your life that you're still holding back? Will you still want to do what is pleasing to you? Or is your life in its entirety handed over to Jesus Christ? I love my master. I will not go out free. May that be the response of our hearts this morning.